Oregon's Latino population continues to grow. Latinos are still a minority in the state, making up a bit more than 10% of the total population. That's a difference from neighboring California, where Latinos are roughly 40% of the population. The Oregon Community Foundation recently released a report on the numbers for Latinos in Oregon and some other measures on the general well-being of the Latino population. It is under the general heading of Tracking Oregon's Progress, and the report is called Latinos in Oregon, Trends and Opportunities in a Changing State. Two guests from the Oregon Community Foundation join us to talk about the contents of the report. Caitlin Ruffinack is one of OCF's researchers. Thanks for joining us today, Caitlin.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Okay, sure. And Roberto Franco is with us as well. He is the OCF Latino Partnership Program Director. Welcome, Roberto.
Thanks, Jeffers. Thanks for having us.
Sure. Caitlin, let's start with you. Talk about the creation of the general set of tools under Tracking Oregon's Progress to see what measures show how the state is doing.
Sure. So we started this project about 3 years ago with Oregon State University, and it really came out of a desire to continue to track indicators that were once tracked by Oregon's Progress Board, which was a state board. So we worked with OSU to create a set of indicators that track the economic, social, and environmental progress of Oregon, and they were added to OSU's existing communities reporter tool as a set of the Tracking Oregon's Progress or TOP indicators. And this is our third report that we've published using some of those indicators. And the exciting thing about this report is that it will also coincide with a release of Latino-specific indicators. I think there are 18 in that collection that will happen later this fall and be available on the same website.
So further information, kind of filling in the general realms that you have in this report?
Yeah, actually, it will be information that's in this report, but it will be available at a more local level, so at the county and sometimes further down than that.
Okay. So you mentioned the Progress Board. Has it ceased to exist? Is that why OCF took this over with Oregon State?
Yeah, and it did cease to exist a while back, and our board here at the foundation had a desire to continue with that work. So that's why we embarked on this project with OSU.
All right, Roberto Franco, let's come to you and give us some idea of the general functions of the Oregon Community Foundation Latino Partnership Program that you run.
Yes, indeed. The Latino Partnership Program actually dates back to at least another 10, 12 years when the foundation and the leaders at the foundation realized of a growing community and a growing population in our midst. Yet the foundation really didn't know much about the workings and the people in that community. So the conversation really started about 12 years ago about who this growing community is, who's working with it, the needs and the challenges that it faces. And the foundation started working with local organizations, figuring out all of those needs and the possibilities and the role that the foundation can play in that work. And so we've come at least 10 years ago now, 12 years ago now, that we've expanded it into a statewide program with some very focused areas that where we want to spend our time and some of our investments as well. And those areas are really around education. So we are working internally to make sure that organizations working with the Latino community have access to the resources that we have in our education pieces. We are working on leadership development. We are realizing that in a state with 12% Latinos, yet the representation in different sectors of our communities, it's still really low. And so working with groups to try to improve that. And lastly, we are, as part of our Latino Partnership Program, finding ways of building new relationships with different sectors of the Latino community. So we're bridge builders in many cases. We facilitate conversations. We bring people together. So really, it is our own internal strategy in creating a long-term relationship with a growing community that we know it will just keep growing and it will just contributing to our economy and all of that we do. So we want to be part of that work. But it's working with communities, so it's not us necessarily telling them what they need to do, other than us realizing the main focus areas where we think we can have an impact.
All right, and certainly education and health are the big ones that come out of this report. Was there any mystery about those? I mean, is it one of those things where if you work with this every day, you know exactly what the big issues are?
Well, I think what the report does, it does put the numbers on the issues that we know. We hear, as you say, and we have a lot of anecdotal experiences and stories, but often in the work of the nonprofit sector, numbers matter, data's number, and that's part of what we're adding here is really adding the numbers to those stories that we know very well.
Roberto Franco is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange with the Oregon Community Foundation, where he's the director of the Latino Partnership Program. Caitlin Ruffinac is with us as well. She's a researcher at OCF, and we're talking about the report, Latinos in Oregon, Trends and Opportunities in a Changing State. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Caitlin, can we come back to just some basic numbers, percentage of population of Latinos, percentage of school population, things like that?
Sure, right. So we've seen that the Oregon Latino population is now 12% of the state's population here in Oregon. And that's also grown 72% since 2000. So that's quite a bit higher growth than the white population, for example, in the state. In education, we see that nearly 23% of our K-12 students in Oregon are Latino. And certainly, while there are some bright spots in education, for example, the graduation rate has increased about 15% between 2010 and 2014, the Latino students are still lagging behind, starting early on in kindergarten and continuing through high school. So those are a few of the numbers that we've seen in the report.
As we're counting Latinos in Oregon, is immigration status no factor in this? It's just whether they're Latino or not?
Right. So that 12% is from the census, and that includes Latinos regardless of immigration status. We also saw there are estimates outside of the U.S. Census about the number of undocumented immigrants, for example. So the Migration Policy Institute estimates that there are about 96,000 undocumented immigrants in Oregon that were born in Mexico or Central America. But most Oregon Latinos are U.S. born, about 64%. And we've seen the growth in that Latino population has really been from those U.S. born Latinos. That population has increased by about 21%. Compared to just a 1% increase in the number of foreign-born Latino Oregonians.
Okay, Caitlin, bring us back to education. You mentioned a lag, an achievement gap there still. How pronounced a gap is that?
Mm-hmm. In terms of graduation rates, the Latino graduation rate in 2014 was 75% compared to 84% in white students. And then also we saw we looked at third and eighth grade reading and math scores. And in the reading scores, we saw, for example, for third grade reading in 2014, the Latino rate, 48% of Latino students met or exceeded the state standards in reading, while 76% of white students met or exceeded. So that's quite a significant gap in that particular area. And we also see it in terms of educational attainment for older Latino Oregonians. We see that just 12% of Latino Oregonians possess a bachelor's degree or higher, while 41% possess less than a high school diploma.
So, Roberto Franco, are the numbers coming up over time, though? Are the graduation rates improving for Latino students, and are there programs in place that are set up specifically to help them?
The numbers are improving, and I think one would wish that the improvements were faster so that we didn't have the gaps. But within the work that we do, we have the range of early childhood education all the way to scholarships. So though we have not set up any one funding program in particular, all of our investment in education, we're making sure that we're reaching Latino-led organizations, Latino-serving organizations in the area of education. So part of the role that I play is to ensure and to figure out where those organizations are, who provides those programs, and then find ways for them to be part of the work that we do. We have the in what we call the P3 alignment from prenatal to third grade, in the out-of-school time program, in our parenting education program. We're making sure, like I said, that we are reaching the Latino community in that way.
It sounds like quite a network of agencies that are doing work across the state then.
Yes, it is across the state. And I think organizations, too, are realizing, and they're working with us, or we're working with them on ways of how to reach that community. So I think it used to be that the majority of Latinos used to be in the Valley or the I-5 corridor, but it's, as you've seen in the report, Eastern Oregon, the North Coast part of the town, they're also living and working in those communities. And so our partners in those areas, we are in constant discussions and communication or visits with them to figure out, again, the best way of reaching parents and reaching children and including them in the programs.
We're talking about the report from the Oregon Community Foundation called Latinos in Oregon, Trends and Opportunities in a Changing State. It's got some numbers, got some good snapshots of what's going on with Oregon's Latino population, which is about 12% of the overall population as of 2014. Roberto Franco and Caitlin Ruffinack from OCF are with us. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Caitlin, Roberto was just talking about the distribution, which is not evenly spread across Oregon. Latinos are in pockets and in some surprising places. It's not just the Willamette Valley. It's not just urban.
Right, that's right. We've seen that the Latino population really is spread, well, not quite evenly, but spread across the state. And there are certainly some pockets where the population is higher than the 12% of the statewide population. For example, in eastern Oregon, and of course the northern Willamette Valley. And we've also seen that most of the growth in population has occurred in the western counties. But certainly there has been some growth all across the state in the population.
There are lots of figures in here on economy and employment for Latinos in Oregon. In general, a greater unemployment rate, is that fair to say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about 9% for Latinos compared to 6% for the white population.
But the phrase that I kept turning over and over was they're more likely to be part of the labor force than white Oregonians. What does that mean?
So the labor force participation rate includes both those who are employed and those who are looking for employment. So it includes that unemployment, those who are unemployed in those numbers. But I think one of the thoughts that we had about why there might be a higher labor force participation is because the Latino population here in Oregon is so much younger. The median age for Latinos is 24 compared to 41 for white Oregonians. So that's one reason why we think that there may be a larger number in the workforce. There are just more who are able to participate.
And then Roberto Franco, what kinds of programs are there are there programs to help Latinos specifically get employed?
Yes, there are, and again, in different parts of the state, different groups have different programs. Some of it is really basic from learning English, for example, or how to navigate the workplace in English language, all the way to helping Latinos to start small businesses or coaching them how to get a loan, coaching them how to save for a small business. And that, again, that's the partnership that we have with a lot of these groups of finding those different areas of improvement, especially in that labor.
Given the higher unemployment rate, and we haven't mentioned this number yet, but the average income much lower, so the poverty situation must be a bit more severe for Latinos in Oregon as well.
Yes, it is. Some of them are also employed in lower paying jobs or may not have benefits at the workplace. So all of that contributes to that as well.
When we get through this section on education and economy / employment, were there any particular surprises in there for you, Roberto Franco?
I think the surprise is really that there is a lot more in the labor force. But also the surprise, but also confirming that people want to work and people want to make improvements in their life. So they'll find a job that they need in order to make some living of it. And it is true throughout, I mean, many different communities that we visit. And what I say, different communities, that includes Ontario, Tillamook, Astoria, Medford, Ashland. In all of those communities, we see people working. And even if it's jobs, just to really have the basics for the household, they'll work for it.
All right, there are health measures in the report, too, Caitlin Ruffinack. Run us down some of the major findings in there.
Right. So I think one of the major findings is that 29% of Latinos lack health insurance. And while that number has been declining, in other words, more Latinos have been accessing health insurance, it's still significantly higher. For example, for white Oregonians, only 13% lack health insurance. So that was quite a significant difference. We also saw that fewer Latinas were receiving prenatal care, but that was also an improving measure. And that while the teen pregnancy rate among Latinas has also declined, it's still double that for white teens here in Oregon. We also took a look at some of the results from the Oregon Healthy Teen Survey, which collects data from 11th graders here in the state. And we saw that over a third of Latino youth are overweight or obese.
A third, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is a big number.
Over a third. Yes, it is.
And so,
37%.
Mm-hmm. So some of these lags in numbers, I mean, obviously, I don't know if you can get obesity out of discrimination, but Roberto Franco, when you look at some of the ways in which Latinos in Oregon are running behind the rest of the population, what's the general range of thought about why that is?
Well, I think some of it has to do with the economics as well. I mean, sometimes people cannot afford better food, cannot go to the grocery and buy better food. So some of that adds to it as well. And it's sometimes also the access to information about healthy habits or healthy eating habits. So all of that, I believe, contributes to that. And so that's part of the dots that we're trying to connect here, not only with the general population, but also with those working with the Latino community, that it's about education, it's about access to information, and definitely some of the resources for people to get better care.
So the community profiles that are in here as well, in addition to the numbers that show the status of life for Latinos across the state of Oregon, so are there some concerns you find in places like Hermiston and Medford that are different from what Latinos experience in the rest of the state?
I'm not sure that there's a lot of difference. And what I mean by that, again, I think in families or individuals experiencing health issues in Southern Oregon, I would venture saying that it's also some of the same issues that they would face in Hermiston or Ontario. It's just that in some cases it comes out in different ways.
All right, Caitlin, I want to come to talk about one of the interesting findings in here, which is the report says Latinos are diverse, which may be news to some people, but so we're not just talking about a monolithic block of people here.
Right, that's right. While the majority of Latinos in the state are of Mexican descent, we do have around 15% who are from other backgrounds, from Central America, South America, Puerto Rico, Cuba, for example, the Dominican Republic. So certainly a lot of diversity and heritage, and all of those different groups, of course, have their own cultures as well. And we also saw some diversity in language abilities. For example, while most Oregon Latinos speak Spanish at home, almost half are bilingual and speak English well or very well. And almost a third are English dominant, meaning that they only speak English at home. So okay. a few pieces of diversity in the population.
Sure. Now, there's another measure in here called the Positive Youth Development Benchmark. What is that, and how different is the Latino number versus what the general population is showing?
Right. So the Positive Youth Development Benchmark comes from that Oregon Healthy Teen Survey, which, again, is collecting information from 11th graders in the state. And it is kind of a summary measure across the different areas that they look at. So they're looking at both physical and emotional health, and they also look at things like substance use, for example. So that measure is a composite overall.
Is there? And, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, so we see that the Latino rate overall is a little bit lower than the white rate. About 53% of Latinos meet the positive youth development benchmark compared to about two-thirds of white 11th graders in Oregon.
Roberto Franco, where do you go from here then? What do you do with the findings of this report? I know we just talked about the fact that there'll be another report along in a few weeks that that helps identify the numbers at a more local level, but what are some of the likely directions in policy that arise from this report on Latinos in Oregon?
I think what we're trying to share here is it's making those connections between those dots of health and education and employment. We started that very basic of connecting dots. So our goal with the report was really to offer the information and the data for communities and organizations to make their own policy recommendations or to adopt policy recommendations. So for where we go from here, at least as the foundation it concerns, and hopefully bringing our partners along, is that we can see that improvement is possible. So that's part of the report, showing a lot of areas of improvement, so that improvement is possible, that for us and hopefully for policymakers and funders, that every year matters from birth to career. And I think we're trying to show that. And also that language matters. Our focus in the report is to show a growing community with contributions, a growing community with assets, with something to add to our economy and to our society.
All so right. A lot to take in for sure. The report is called Latinos in Oregon, Trends and Opportunities in a Changing State from the Oregon Community Foundation. Roberto Franco and Caitlin Ruffinack joined us from there. Thank you both.
Thank you very much, Jeffrey.